Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing why we need to speak in tongues. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. Father, I thank you for this day of your new mercy and new grace that we've enjoyed, God. Father, I thank you for you preparing us for a sweet rest. And those who are going to be going to work, prepare them for a peaceful time at work. God, Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around each and every one of us, God. Father, I thank you for you increasing our level of expectation and faith and confidence and trust in your word being true in our lives and not being theoretical, but being something that is a dominant reality in how we live so that we can fully walk into the power and fullness of the more than abundant life physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, because that is your will and why you sent your son Jesus Christ so that we could have life more than abundantly. Father, I thank you for you getting us something today in this teaching that we need to know so that we can come closer in our relationship with you and we can operate in a greater degree of power. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing why we need to believe to speak in tongues. And we are going to begin to discuss and understand what the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues so that we can increase our participation in this spiritual life that we live and increase our love walk toward God by operating in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, talking about living in the Spirit and worshiping God in the Spirit. See, one of the things that has always been a challenge for people is to understand that after Jesus Christ died and was in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights, dead, and his Heavenly Father, God Almighty, raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand and gave him all power in heaven, which was his, and on earth that the devil had at the time, and under earth and hell that the devil had at the time. God consolidated all that power, gave it to his Son, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I so that we could share in that power, and made us one on the day of Pentecost by sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within each and every one of us. And when the cloven tongues, like as a fire, was upon each of the heads of those who first received the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues. And for the first time, mankind that was divided was now united through the power of the Spirit, through their heavenly prayer language, their speaking in tongues, their connection back to God. Because when Adam sinned, that connection was severed. The ability to communicate directly and freely to God was non-existent unless the Holy Spirit was upon you, as it was with his prophets in the Old Testament and others who God had anointed for a specific purpose. Once again, after Jesus Christ fulfilled his mission and his perfect blood paid for our sins so that mankind could once again be reunited with God, and his broken body made it so that we would have physical wholeness again, we were restored to our rightful place. We were reconciled back to God. And that allows us to come boldly before the throne of God through the blood of Christ, so that Christ is behind us, the throne of God is before us, and we are in that secret place of the Most High, standing legally, boldly, before the throne of God so that we can obtain mercy for every good work. And we can walk in the abundance of grace that God has made available to us. But, you know, if you fail to speak with your Heavenly Father in your heavenly prayer language, then the loss is that your relationship is going to be limited than what it is intended to be. Just imagine if you had a child that never spoke to you. Not that they couldn't speak, they didn't speak to you. And let's say that there was a child that you never spoke to. That child would be hindered, and that relationship would not be a very strong relationship because of the absence of communication. There have been studies done where people had plants, and they spoke meanly to one plant, and they spoke nicely to another plant, and the plant that they spoke nicely to thrived and grew, and the plant that was in the same condition, but they were speaking meanly to it, it died and wilted. Well, our relationship with God will grow and flourish when we take that time to speak to our Heavenly Father in our heavenly prayer. And it is, tonight I'm going to show how when we are speaking in tongues, when we're praying in tongues, we are worshiping God truthfully. We are building up our inner man. We are maintaining our life with God. We are speaking secrets to God. We are speaking the wonderful works of God. We are magnifying God. We're praying perfectly and interceding for the saints. We're giving thanks well. We're allowing God's Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're allowing ourselves to know that we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ and an heir of God. We are strengthening our inner man with might when we speak in tongues. We are seeing the invisible, and we are putting forth a sign to unbelievers that God's power within us is real. And speaking in tongues is also a sign to us that we believe. We actually believe, because now we're doing what we say, what we are talking about. And that becomes important, because when you understand that this walk with God is real, this walk with God is authentic, we are now in the spiritual realm, then we are in a place of power. We are fulfilling prophecy. We are not guessing and hoping and praying that maybe someday we might go to heaven. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ right now. And see, that's what people don't understand, is our participation in the heavenly realm is happening right now when we are fully engaged through our spirit, where God's Spirit speaking to the Holy Spirit within us, and our Holy Spirit speaking to our mind, and our mind tells our mouth what to say, and we speak in languages that we do not know. Those words are going back to heaven where they need to be to accomplish a purpose that needs to be accomplished, which is none of our business. But our willingness to participate, exchange, because whatever's going on, God needs those words to pass through us to have the power that they need to have in the heavenlies. And it's one thing to say you love God. It's another thing to demonstrate that in you communicating to Him in your private prayer life, when it's just you, when nobody's looking. And you taking the time to speak in tongues out loud, or speak in tongues to yourself, or speak in tongues in the car. It's you taking time to speak to your Heavenly Father and let Him know how much you love Him. Because, see, the first and great commandment is love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is to love yourself and then love others. And, see, when you understand that speaking to your Heavenly Father in your heavenly prayer language, beginning of all that, when you speak in tongues, you're building up your inner man, and that is you loving yourself. You are investing in your spiritual being, because, see, that's what's going into eternity, not this flesh and bones body that we're in, this vessel will not inherit eternal life. This is simply a means of getting our soul to where it needs to be. And so, because the Spirit lusteth after our soul, we have to feed our mind, our will, and emotions with the things of the Spirit. And we have to allow ourselves to communicate fully with God. So I want to start tonight's teaching in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. And this is a very important place to start, because so many people need to understand that God is a spirit. And listen to what it says here in John 4:24. It says, God is spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And see, when you are praying in tongues, you are worshiping God truthfully because you are literally giving him the words that he is giving to you. See, what you offer up to God in a tongue is going to be received by him because it comes from him. And that's an important truth, to understand that you are willingly participating in an exchange between you and God. And that level of worship cannot be undone. That level of worship cannot be tampered with. The magnitude of your reward is irreplaceable. It cannot be removed from you. And so you need to understand that when you speak in tongues, you are storing up your riches in heaven, your treasures in heaven. When you value that time that you speak to your Heavenly Father, then you are going to have your peace and your power and your purpose and your praise the highest level possible. Because when you pray in tongues, you are worshiping God truthfully because you are giving him exactly what is coming from him in real time. And because God is a spirit, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, the show that we put on, or that some put on for others in their prayer, in what they call prayer, and what they call worship, and what they call praise, is many times a show for others and not necessarily focused on pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and obeying God. But when you speak in tongues, it's all about God, mainly because he's the only one who understands what you're saying. You are alone, then that's the kind of prayer God's looking for. God's looking for his personal quality time with you. And see, the people that we love, we spend personal quality time with them. We spend personal quality time with our spouses. We spend personal quality time with our children. We spend personal quality time with our grandchildren, with our parents, with our grandparents, with our great-grandparents, and with our friends, the people we love, we spend personal quality time with them, and it's not a show. It's real. So I want to go to this next verse because it's very important. It's what I was speaking of earlier about how just as it is important to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so we worship God in spirit because God is a spirit, so it is with ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, it speaks of us edifying our inner man, our inner man. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And what this is saying is that when you speak in a tongue, you are building up your inner man. You're edifying. That's what that word edifying means, edifying yourself. And see, the second great command after loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is loving others as you love yourself, meaning you have to love yourself first so that you can love others. And when you speak in tongues, you're building up yourself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, what this is saying is when you prophesy, you're speaking in the language of the presence, and you are giving a word that's coming directly from God to your spirit and from your mouth to the people in the language of the people present. So they're edified. But when you speak in a tongue, they don't understand what you're saying. But your spirit, your soul is built up. Your inner man is built up. And that's important because that's a part of loving yourself. Now, when you speak in tongues and interpret, then the unbeliever sees the power is coming from God. And then when you interpret that tongue, just like you spoke in the tongue, the words came from God, came to your spirit, came to your soul, your mind, your mouth spoke. The interpretation of that tongue comes from the same place, comes from God, whose spirit, to your mind, to your mouth, and you speak what God told you, not what you made up. And the church is edified the same way, except now the unbelievers know where it came from, right? See, prophecy is for mature believers who understand that the person prophesying is prophesying. But people who are unbelievers, they wouldn't understand that because they don't know what's in the word and what's not in the word and what's coming from God and what's not coming from God. They're just there until they grow and mature. Look at what it says here in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It's one chapter, the whole book. But it speaks of maintaining our life with God. And Jude 1:20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy praying in the Holy Spirit." And I want to point out a part of this verse here that speaks about how we're building up ourselves on our most holy faith as we pray in the Holy Spirit. And see, that act of praying in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, is a part of how we build up ourselves on our most holy faith. And when we are engaged with God spiritually like this, we are realizing the spiritual wholeness that God desires for us. See, Jesus Christ came so that we can have life and have it more than abundantly. That abundant life, that more than abundant life, is first spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. All of those realms. But in order to have a spiritually whole life, it begins with you building up your inner man on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And see, many people will tell you it doesn't take all that. They will tell you that speaking in tongues is not necessary. And they're lying to you because speaking in tongues is one of nine operations or manifestations of the free gift of the Holy Spirit. Many people have allowed an old interpretation in the King James Version to lead them into believing that each operation of the Holy Spirit is an individual gift. But if you read in the King James, what I like about the King James is when they add a word, they put it in italics so you can tell it was added. So when you're reading in Corinthians and it says the gift of and the gift of and the gift of, and where it says gift, it's in italics. So you know they added it, right? So if you scratched out all of those areas where they say gift and you just read it through, it's clear that the operations of the Holy Spirit are speaking in tongues and interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. And when we believe to speak in tongues, which is foundational, then we go on to want to edify somebody else, and we believe to speak in tongues and interpret. And then we go on, we want to edify the whole body, and we believe to prophesy. And then we want to begin to get to work for God and allow God to speak to us word of knowledge, give us words of knowledge, things that we could not know through our five senses in a specific situation that God gives us when we need to know it. And then gives us word of wisdom, which is what to do with that knowledge that we just received with him, from him rather. And that word of wisdom of what to do allows us to be positioned for demons with discerning of spirits when we're confronted with a devil spirit and we need to cast that spirit out. And then we can believe to operate supernatural acts of faith, We can believe to perform miracles. We can believe to heal people. The power of the Holy Spirit within us allows us to do all of that. The free gift is the gift of Holy Spirit. God knows what we will believe to do, but speaking in tongues is fundamental. It's foundational. See, if you don't believe to speak in tongues, the devil never has to worry about you believing to heal somebody or believing to perform a miracle or believing to operate in supernatural acts of faith or believing to cast out a devil spirit, believing to operate in word of wisdom or word of knowledge. You won't believe to speak in tongues. It's foundational. It is, and there are those three categories. There's the inspirational stations of speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. There's the impartation manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, where God is imparting to you knowledge and power that you need to operate. And then there's the revelation manifestations, operations of the Holy Spirit, supernatural acts of faith, miracles, gifts of healing, where you're healing people and performing miracles and operating supernatural acts of faith. Those are revelation manifestations or operations where God tells you what to do, when to do, how to do, authorizes you to do, and you act in the spirit realm. See, but you preparing yourself to do that is building up your inner man on your most holy faith by speaking in tongues, right? Worshiping God truthfully by worshiping him in the spirit by speaking in tongues, acknowledging that God is a spirit, is the spirit. And now, when we do this and we build ourselves up on our most holy faith as we pray in the Holy Spirit, then we know we're prepared. We're not afraid when God tells us, cast that devil spirit out. We know that greater is the Holy Spirit within us than the devil spirits in the world or anybody that's going to come up against us. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:2. When we speak to God, we speak secrets to God. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. See, to me, what's fascinating about this is that we are speaking mysteries to God. But if we look at this as spiritual warfare, which it is, in war, sides usually have a code. And those codes have to be deciphered by their enemy in order to thwart their plans and prevent them from being successful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God says, God says here in 1 Corinthians 14:2, we're speaking mysteries to God, secrets to God. Why do we need to speak secrets? Well, here's a reason. Because the devil isn't in hell. The devil is before the throne of God accusing the brethren daily, right? Now, if you're an unbeliever and you're somebody who doesn't know the Bible, then if somebody asked you where the devil is, you'd say the devil's in hell, right? But if you are a believer and you do study the Bible and you know what the Bible says, then you'll know that the devil is before the throne of God accusing the brethren daily, right? Now, what that means is there's a battle. There is a legal defense going on in heaven where before the throne of God accusing you and I daily, and then Jesus Christ is our intercessor, our mediator. He is the one presenting his blood saying, we are innocent. The price has been paid. We are not the devils to deal with. And we are participating in whatever it is going on up there when we speak mysteries to God. However he needs us to participate, we are willingly, freely participating, speaking mysteries to God because he needs us. And see, this is another one. If you ever listen to some of these gospel songs, they can be so disturbing. You know, some of them will say, God doesn't need you. that he can do this all by himself and this, that, and the other. You know what? If God could have did everything he's done by himself without you and you weren't so important, then he wouldn't have had to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for you and I. He wouldn't have had to do any of that. He wouldn't have had to suffer any of that. God's plan involves you. God's plan is good. God needs you to actively participate in his plan freely, voluntarily, just like he freely loved you, freely gave you his first and his best so that you could be in the place he always intended you to be, so that everything he's preparing for you in eternity is yours. You need to participate now so that you can fully partake of all that he's doing for you and agree with God that his plan is good and that his word is true. Look at what it says in Acts 2:11 about speaking in tongues. It says that when we speak in tongues, we're speaking the wonderful works of God. Look what it says. Acts 2:11 says, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own language, in our own tongue, the wonderful works of God. This is fascinating because these people on the day of Pentecost, they heard these others speaking in their tongue with no education in their language. And when they heard them speaking in tongues in their tongue, they heard the wonderful works of God. And see, that's how we know they were speaking the wonderful works of God, as it says, that the Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. God always has a witness to what he's doing because he's not wasting time. He's not wasting effort. He's very efficient. God knows what you will believe to do and what you will not believe to do. And God is giving you a lot of time to do everything that he has made available to you to do. And yet God knows who will believe and who will not. God knows who will act and who will not. God knows who will walk out on the promises in his word and who will not. So the measure of faith that he's given you is the measure of faith you're going to use. Because see, God has foreknowledge. God knows the past, present, and future. God knows what you're going to do before you do it. And so he has meted out his power to the extent that he knows we are going to use it, how we're going to use it. So for me, I've not raised anybody from the dead yet. I've not cast a mountain into the sea yet. I've not walked on water yet, all right? But my hope, my prayer, that I would believe to say yes to God if he ever opened the door for me to do any of those things, right? And yeah, I have healed someone before through the power of the Holy Spirit. God healed someone through me before, and I believe to participate in that and to let God use me through the power of the Holy Spirit within me to heal someone else. That's happened. That is a powerful experience, but there is always more. God always has a greater experience so that you can full magnitude of his power. I remember what Job's testimony was after he went through his trial and temptation. He said, God, I knew of you before, but now I know you because I've experienced you in my test, in my trial. Look what it says here in Acts chapter 10, verse 46. It says that when we speak in tongues, we magnify God. It says in Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered in it. This is with the household of Cornelius, and he was saying, who can forbid these to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Now that we've heard them speak in tongues, and people, they were just listening to speak on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 8 chapters before the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, you see how it was just Jews, Jewish Christians who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But then, 8 or 9 chapters later here in Acts, we see the household of Cornelius receive the Holy Spirit. These Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues while Peter was preaching. And he said, who can forbid that we not water baptize? Who can forbid us from water baptizing these Gentiles? And you have to remember, it was against the law for Jews and Gentiles to fellowship together, to even be in one another's home, as Peter was at this time. But once again, that's an example where the laws of man become subject to the laws of God. And I'm sure that the religious leaders at the time weren't too excited about what Peter was doing. But when Peter walked away with the mystery that the Jews and Gentiles would be one body, that the promise to the Jews was also to the Gentiles. And see, that was another mystery. There, it's interesting because the things that the Bible says are mystery, those are mysteries. God will tell you, these were mysteries until I disclosed them, until I revealed them, until I roll them out. And this is one of those examples, that the Jews and the Gentiles, one body. When they heard these Gentiles speak in tongues and magnify God, then they knew they had to water baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. It speaks of praying perfectly and interceding for the saints. And see, when we are participating in the fullness of the body of Christ spiritually, this is important. It's important because we don't always know what's going on with someone, and yet there are times when God will put them on our mind, and you will wonder why you woke up thinking about Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so, or why in the middle of your day you're thinking about. But when God puts them on your mind, that's when you want to start interceding for the saints. That's when you want to start speaking in tongues while you're thinking about them, because what you don't know, the Spirit does know. Look at what it says here in Romans 8, 26 and 27, and that's basically what this verse says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God, because he knows what we don't know. And all we need to do, gauge the Holy Spirit. And as we're thinking of the saints, we speak in tongues for those that God puts on our mind, and things that we don't know about, that we don't need to know about, get dealt with, get handled, because we're thinking about someone else. And see, that's important, because a lot of times, if we're not engaging our spirit, if we're not speaking in tongues, all we're doing is getting wrapped up in our own stuff. And see, this is one of the ways, and one of the ways that we comfort others is by interceding for them, is by standing in the gap, by praying for them, lifting them up. There have been times when I was catching all kinds of hell, all kinds of directions, and I could feel the prayers of the saints lifting me up. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17. It says that when we speak in tongues, we give thanks well. Look at what it says here. 1 Corinthians 14, 17 says, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And this is speaking about speaking in tongues when you are in a public setting. people don't understand what you're saying. So you're giving thanks well, but because they don't understand what you're saying, no one else is edified. Discouraging, speaking in tongues out loud publicly, unless you believe to interpret. And just like you received the tongues from God and spoke, you can receive the interpretation of the tongue and speak, so that the people who are there can be edified and know that what you just spoke in a tongue came from God, and here's the interpretation, right? And when you interpret a tongue, it's always going to be words of edification, exhortation, comfort. So it says that when you speak in tongues, the point I'm trying to get from this, though, it says, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified when you speak in a tongue. Well, the idea is that when you speak in tongues, you are giving thanks well. And you have to understand this, because we know God blesses us and protects us and keeps us every day. We don't always know how. We don't understand the full magnitude of the things that God has to do in order to make our path straight, clear, to be able to bear whatever does come our way, and He uses that to prosper us as well, right? But we have to get to the point where we understand that speaking in tongues is giving thanks well, and when we speak in tongues, we're doing that. We're giving God what He wants, because it's exactly what He's giving us in the Spirit, and we're just giving it back to Him like a boomerang effect. And if you've ever seen a boomerang, you'll see how when you throw it and it comes back, there's something about this, that the way that it's formed, that causes it to respond the way that it does. And that's what it is when God's Spirit speaks to our spirit, and then it comes to us and through us back into the heavenlies like a boomerang, right? Look what it says here in Romans 8:16. It allows God's Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Look at what it says, Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when we speak in tongues, it is God's Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And one of the biggest attacks on the church, on believers, is that you're not really saved. I've heard seasoned saints come up, and they might hear you cuss. They might see you do something that, or they might see you lose your temper. Or they might see you do something they don't agree with, or you wear the wrong color socks. I don't know. I shouldn't feel like that. But the idea is the devil's got all kinds of fiery darts that are going to accuse you of not being a child of God, not going to accuse you of not being saved, going to accuse you of not being called and anointed for God's work and service. And you need to know. See, God's Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God when we speak in tongues. And that's important to understand, because you got to be confident in what you're doing for God if you're going to win others to the kingdom, if you're going to properly represent God in the earth and not lie on God and say that this is a lottery ticket, possibly go to heaven maybe someday if you get it all worked out. God hasn't left this up to you. See, God's plan is good. What God started in you, God is going to finish. And you have to trust that and participate freely in that. And part of your participation is speaking in tongues so that God's Spirit can bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, and you absolutely know that without any doubt or hesitation. Look at what it says in Romans 8:17. Speaking in tongues allows you to know that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. See, this is important because we understand that we share in the sufferings of Christ, but we're also going to share in being glorified together with Christ when He returns, right? And we have to understand that as heirs of God, we are inheriting the same power that Jesus Christ inherited. And as joint heirs with Christ, we are sharing in what Jesus Christ inherited when he was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And it says that those who overcome will reign with Christ on his throne as he reigned with God, his Father, on his throne. That's what it says in Revelation. Is it Revelation 3? I think one of Revelation 5, one or two of those. But the thing is this, to understand that we are an heir of God, we're a joint heir with Christ, and we know that. We're not guessing. When you speak in tongues, that is what you are doing. Your God's spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that the facts. These are the facts. So look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says that speaking in tongues strengthens our inner man with might, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. See, that's what God is doing with us. He is, according to his riches of with might, through his spirit in the inner man. As we speak in tongues, it strengthens our inner man with might. So if you're ever feeling weak, spirit, speak in tongues. So usually, remember how it says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but God's spirit within us is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Well, as we speak in tongues, we are affirming that, and we're allowing that to be the case by strengthening our inner man with might. And our love walk is being perfected because we are continually loving on God by giving him exactly what he gives us, nothing more, nothing less. When we speak in tongues, the words that he gives us, we're giving back to him. We're not chopping them up. We're not trying to make them do anything more than they're doing. Whatever it is he gives us, we're giving it back to him. And it's that kind of selfless love that allows our relationship with God to grow. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We begin to see the invisible. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So this is why we don't have to worry about what life's going to be like when we're 80, when we're 90, when we're 100, when we're 110, when we pass away at 120. We understand that our inner man is being renewed day by day in spite of whatever's happening to this outward man, this flesh and bones being. This is just getting our soul to where we need it to be for eternity. And the more time that we have here, the more time we have to build up our inner man. And when we're doing that actively, then we're going to begin to see the operation of the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit within us. And the church is going to rise up and people will know the church, be able to discern, and they'll be able to distinguish the church from the world more clearly. Right now, you can barely tell the difference at times. But look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:22. Tongues are a sign for unbelievers of God's power in you. Therefore, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. And that's what I was saying earlier. What it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:22 is basically that when you prophesy, believers know what that is, but unbelievers don't. They wouldn't know what you were speaking, whether it was edification, exhortation, or comfort or not. But when they hear you speak in tongues and interpret, they know that what you're speaking in the tongue is something they don't understand, that you don't understand, that you're proclaiming, and they hear that. And then when you speak the interpretation of the tongue, then they understand, oh, what was spoken in the tongue is what is being interpreted, and that is the power that signifies it's coming from God and not just something you're making up in the name of God, right? Look what it says here in Mark 16:17. when we speak in tongues, it's a sign that you believe. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. We call ourselves believers, right? And then in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, right? So that, in tongues, is a sign that you believe and that you are a believer. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to believe, to receive the manifestation of speaking in tongues in your life so that you can build up your inner man. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you being glorified in all that we do, God, and I thank you for you giving us a desire to come closer to you in all things and to begin to inner man and spend time in communication with you by speaking to you in the spirit in a way that glorifies you. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Les DeCarvo with Tuesday Night Teachings and Real High Network, be ye transformed.
I know that it seems sometimes that no matter what you do, or no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way, it didn't work, no. You put him second,
yeah,
and put you first. Thought they had your back,
oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack, yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say,
hey,
see the devil is alive,
hey,
no I'm not gonna die,
hey,
it's okay to cry,
hey,
cause he's by your side,
hey.
You gotta stop that hating, I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit,
cause
he's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. Hold up. You lost your job.
Hallelujah.
Your bills are due. And all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother,
and she said, pray about
I talked to my pastor,
and she said, pray about
but I was so blinded by all my disaster. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me. See, the devil is a liar. No, you're not gonna die,
hey.
It's okay to cry,
hey.
Cause he's by your side,
hey.
You gotta stop that hating,
hey.
I know you don't wanna hear it,
hey.
Gotta fast and pray and listen,
hey,
to the Spirit, y'all.
I'm trying to tell you something.
He's speaking to your heart right now.